following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
He's a three-time Gold Glover, Nebraska-born Husker. And this Sunday, you can take this back-to-back All-Star home. Come out to the K, and the first 10,000 lucky fans will take home an Alex Gordon bobblehead, presented by Pepsi. Arrive early for Family Fun Day Sunday, and enjoy live music from School of Rock and the Outfield Experience. Then watch Cordo in action as the Royals battle the San Francisco Giants with a 1-10 opening pitch. Get your tickets today at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Be Royal, Kansas City.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter and Greg Shea, our special co-host with us today. It's always good to hook back up with Greg. You're trying to get everything all ready for a hockey season. How's that all coming?
I don't think people are quite ready yet.
It's a little.
I don't want to let go of summer. So,
it's cooler today. You're starting to feel a little bit more fallish, a little bit more winterish with hockey today than when it's 90.
Yeah, well, they're just anytime you turn the page to that fall, and we're interesting because we're a fall, winter, spring sport because of the number of games we play, a 60-game season. So first wave of players start reporting here in the next couple of weeks. We open up training camp the end of August, and I think we're going to play maybe six preseason games, at least six, and then we're right into the regular season, the end of September, which is, we think, a fall sports season. And that's when we start, and then we go through the fall, the winter, and our last regular season game, I think it's April 5th or 6th or something like that. So I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I'm just thinking about the beginning of it right now. But great to be here. You guys must have been really short of talent that the phone rang.
No.
So.
Well, it's always good to have you. Well, while we're a ways away from hockey kind of kicking into high gear, a lot of attention right now on the Kearney Little Leaguers. They picked up a huge 11-7 win yesterday against Plymouth, New Hope, Minnesota, avenged one of their losses that they had in pool play, and 11-7 win. They advance, and kind enough to join us to talk about that game, as well as the matchup tomorrow with Canyon Lake, South Dakota, is the head coach of the Kearney Little League team, Bill Bonner. And Bill, I love having these conversations because it means you guys are still alive and kicking. And congratulations. Great win yesterday.
Great. It was a great win. It's been a back-and-forth roller coaster ride, but I was glad to see our team finally come out and play baseball like I know we can.
You kind of mentioned yesterday that you guys were struggling a little bit offensively. You just kind of needed to get going. I can't think of a better prescription to get a team believing in themselves than coming up with six straight hits late in the game with two out, and that's exactly what you guys were able to do in the fifth inning.
Yep, we team stayed focused. I was a little concerned after we were up and then we're down 6-5. I didn't know if the team would stay focused and heads in the game, and they came out and responded and jumped back on top.
Talk a little bit about that. I mean, it just kind of took on its own life, it felt like, because you just kind of knew that next person. After you get about three or four of those, there was, I don't want to say a swagger necessarily, but the kids as a team really kind of seemed to have a lot of confidence when they were hitting late in the game.
Yep. We've seen that throughout the whole time. It seems like if we get one or two kids starting to hit the ball, then everybody gets some confidence in themselves, and they go out and do the same. We start off slow, and we struggle with bats a little bit, and it seems like it spreads through the lineup.
Hey, Bill, Greg Shea sitting in for Doug this morning. First off, great win, great excitement. I'm not sure there was much work done in Kearney, Nebraska yesterday afternoon or the surrounding area, so thank you for the break, by the way.
Not a problem. I'm glad to give you some time off.
Hey, I'm more curious outside of the lines, how everybody's handling the big time feel that this brings. Is it a huge distraction? How are you know? I mean, having to in the pregame, the kids get a chance to introduce themselves and. You know, all of that television production, if you're not around it and it's a first-time deal, it's much more time-consuming, I think, people understand. How have you how's everybody handled that? What's the feel like? And I believe they even had you mic'd up. Is that correct?
They did. I've been really surprised at the kids. They do get excited when the camera wants to talk to them and wants to film them a little bit. I think the biggest distraction that we have is in between innings when we have to stay in the dugout before we can just rush out on the field. The kids are ready to go out and get started, and even when we're up to bat, we have to stay back during the TV commercial breaks. That's probably the biggest thing that I've seen. It kind of changes the rhythm of the game. But as far as having cameras around and being mic'd up, I think really after the game gets started, I really didn't even realize I had a microphone for most of the time during the game, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing, but they told me they didn't have to bleep me very much. So that was good.
You looked calm and collective.
Hey, Bill, you were able to avenge one of your losses. Obviously, a tough loss in the pool play against a team from Minnesota. You were able to kind of avenge that. Talk about the impact that kind of has on your team, because now they're in the finals. They're exactly where you want to be. You've got a great opportunity in front of you. The fact that you were avenged a loss, does that give them a little bit more confidence, or is that really not a factor?
I think the kids knew after the first time we played our first game against Canyon Lake. They knew we didn't play well. They knew we could play better. And I think they felt, even coming out of the game, that if we get another chance and we play our baseball, we're definitely going to give them a run. The game against Minnesota, the first game, right away I think the kids knew we could have won that game if we had a few things go our way. And so they were really happy to know we advanced into the tournament, and that's who we were going to play first round. So I think the kids will be they're excited to get to this point, and I think they're excited to know who we're matched up against.
What's the plan in terms of pitching tomorrow? You get some kids back, after a couple of days of rest. Who are you going to go with? And everybody that has innings left to pitch, you don't have to worry about another game because this is it. Talk a little bit about where you're set up pitching wise.
Pitching wise, we have everybody full lineup minus Seth Stroh. He threw 85 yesterday, so he's out for the remainder of the tournament. Everybody else will be back. We'll either pitch Brant Grosskreutz or Jackson Worley to start with. Most likely we'll see both of them at some point within the game. But both of them can throw 85, and along with Tyler Shermer and Lane Shires and the rest of our staff.
Obviously, you'll need to play well tomorrow, but what are some things especially are going to be key for you guys to be successful against Kenny Lake, who's gone so far through the tournament? I think a three-run game is the closest game they've had all tournament.
Yeah, they're definitely a strong team. They swing the bats. We got to come out and throw first-pitch strikes, get them swinging so they're not watching pitches and getting us deep into our pitch counts. But I think if we can go out and play close to what we played like yesterday and then be aggressive ourselves at the plate and get some hits, we'll put some pressure on them, and it should be another good game.
We kind of talked about this yesterday, and hopefully talking with us before you play is the good luck charm. I mean, we want to take a little credit for that if we can, Bill.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll get it wherever we can find it. What do you kind of see as a real key element for you guys? I mean, the game plan, you kind of mentioned being aggressive at the plate. Is this going to be one of those games where you feel like you're going to have to – it's going to be a low-scoring game, so it's important to squeeze that across, or are you guys going to continue to play for the big inning?
We're going to go out and swing the bats. That's kind of been what we've done from the beginning. All of our kids can hit. When they hit, they can hit hard. We got a few kids that are still – struggling just a little bit, but at any point in time, I think they can come in and step up and get the timely hits. Preston Pearson stepped in yesterday and started off the two-out rally, and we went from there. But I think the key tomorrow, I think for us, is going to be we got to be throwing strikes. That's what hurt us first time against Canyon Lake. I think we had 11 walks and seven or eight pass balls, and that put us down in the first inning against them. So I think if we can come out and throw strikes, make them hit the ball, put our defense into play, and then come out and be aggressive ourselves with the sticks.
Any concerns about, you know, the 10 run to you last time? Confidence going in, are your kids going to be able to be okay? And if you guys fall behind, will that confidence wane, or is it very important you guys get ahead early?
I think is our team, I really feel our team's kind of looked past that game. They knew that wasn't us, that wasn't our game. And so I think we'll stick with it, and we'll go till the very end and hope for the best outcome.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate the time, and you've represented Kearney, the state of Nebraska, very, very well, and we wish you the best of luck tomorrow, and go get them.
Great. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate all the support from you guys.
All right, thanks, Bill, and best of luck heading to Williamsport. They pick up the win tomorrow. The game will be on ESPN. First pitch is at noon tomorrow. I don't think there'll be a lot of work getting done about noontime tomorrow either.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, that age group, I'm sure they're not thinking about so much about what happened at the in that first game as much as they can't wait to play this next game, riding the wave from yesterday. And you think about that, and our kids have played ball.
Yeah.
They want to play today. You know, I'm sure it's not, you know, tomorrow noon is light years away for them right now. That might be the bigger hurdle, but the good thing is both teams have to battle that over the next 24 hours.
I think yesterday's win erases the memory of that 13-3 loss that they had with them earlier. And if they get ahead, if they're close, if it's tight through the early stages, they'll forget completely about that. I am concerned that if they fall behind, that would be a problem. But conversely, you also have Canyon Lake that hasn't really been pushed all tournament long. You wonder what would happen if Kearney gets that early lead, if they start to feel like they have a monkey on their back. That could work in Kearney's favor as well tomorrow.
And, you know, obviously we're talking about 12-year-olds.
Yep.
And it's on that stage, anything can happen. And just like yesterday, we're cruising, through the first, you know, two or three innings with a 5-0 lead. And then a little bit of a snowball fight broke out on some hits and throwing the ball around. So that can happen. You would think less as they go, you know, as you go through a tournament like this, the skill level. But you're right. If they can push them a little bit, push them out of the gate, and they have not been pushed yet, anything can happen. So
at that age, everything is all about momentum. You start hitting, everybody's going to hit. You start throwing.
It's that
it
way
around.
For me, by the way.
Yeah, it's for that way.
I'm not that age, but it It feels like still like I need that momentum.
Yeah, I need something that's going to be pushing me forward as
it's
well.
It's called caffeine.
Well, you can have caffeine. It's after 11. Yeah, you're okay. You'll make it through there. If you need to improve the things around your house, make your outside look a little bit better, think of Johnson Lawn and Landscape. The only name you'll need to know, as they'll be able to help your lawn look great all year long. Landscaping with trees, shrubs, rocks, custom concrete edging, all of that. It means that you'll get both that style and functionality for your new or existing landscaping. Imagine having a yard that looks like you spent hours on it when, well, you just called Johnson Lawn and Landscape and let them do all the work. Serving the Tri-Cities at NebraskaLandscape.com or call 237-LAWN. Call them today and stop in at their nursery located along Yellow Van Cleaning on 6th Street here in Kearney, proudly Landscaping Nebraska, and doing amazing work. Again, check them out at 237-LAWN and at NebraskaLandscape.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky. We'll talk a little bit about MIAA Media Days heading into the fall season and a whole lot more. We come back right after this.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloudiness across the area today with an isolated chance for a shower, thunder shower. Otherwise, we're looking at a high temperature up in the low 80s with north winds 5 to 15. Tonight, there's a chance for a few showers or storms. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 73.
When I believe the world is burning to the ground. Oh, well, I guess we're going to find out. Let's see how far we've come. Let's see how far we've come. When I
Welcome back to the Duck and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, my co-host Greg Shea from the Tri-City Storm, kind enough to join us. And also Paul Plinsky, UNK Athletic Director, joins us now. And Paul, it's been kind of a busy week at MIAA Media Days earlier this week. How was that experience? Did you guys have some time outside of the media contacts? Did you guys meet as a conference as well?
No, actually, we didn't. It was just the opportunity for the coaches to get together down in Kansas City at the location of the 2014 NCAA Division II Football Championships. And our conference, the MIAA, is hosting the championship for four consecutive years. And so Commissioner Bob Boerichter put it on, and Daryl headed down there and was able to represent UNK for what we call Media Day. And as you can see, the polls came out, which Coach and I spoke a little bit the day before when we just finished unveiling our football uniforms, and then we spoke after the press conference. And so the feedback has been pretty interesting nonetheless.
Obviously, you'd rather be rated one or two instead of being 10th and 11th in the conference. But again, that's kind of – it's last year's perception that really right. That's based on more than anything else. But unfortunately, that's kind of where UNK football is right now. It hasn't gotten that respect within the conference that we're all striving for.
Well, I'll say a couple things to that. You know, first, in 2012, when we entered the conference for the first year of our participation in the MIAA, we were ranked sixth in the coaches' poll and in the media poll in football. And we finished the year 3-8. And then the next year, we had a repeat performance of 3-8. And so the sixth position, you know, after never being in the conference before, was all based upon prior year's reputation in the RMAC. And so now here we are being rated based upon the prior year's competition again. But I think the biggest thing that I, you know, as I looked at it, I said, you know, number one is we obviously have nowhere to go but up. But at the second piece of that is that we are really an unknown right now. You know, if you look at our roster and the number of athletes that we have coming in, there's no predictability with our program. And so that's the exciting thing for us, because we feel like we've had an outstanding off season. And reposition ourselves to be ready to go to battle this year and have a great 2014 year.
Obviously, camp opens next week. There certainly is some fodder out there. We're not getting the respect within the conference that we're kind of looking for. One thing that's also kind of different for UNK this year, it seems like a lot more transfers for the football program than what we've had in years past. Is that a fundamental change? Is that just kind of a one-year adjustment based on the roster? What does the future look like there?
Well, you pose a real good question, because it's a philosophical debate that we've had on campus. And you know, our office has been running student-athletes in and out for the last month. And that's a real good thing, because student-athletes are now in the city that they're starting to find places to live, and they're becoming full-fledged community members. And they're from all over the country, mind you. And they're coming in to get their compliance paperwork set and get ready so that they can be competitive and on the field next Wednesday. And so for us, it's something that we philosophically felt we needed to do in order to jumpstart this program. You know, you can bring in first-year student-athletes and try to build a program off of those, but, you know, they're going to get beat up in years one and year two and maybe even year three. Or you can try to bring in a mixture of first-year student-athletes with junior college transfers and see how that goes. Or you can bring in all junior college or four-year transfers into the school. And we decided to do kind of a hybrid approach. And so Coach Morris has a good mixture of first-year and transfers that we feel can really complement one another. And I think the thing that people forget to take into account is that we have 13 out of our 22 starters returning from last year's team. And they're not happy with 3-8. They've been working awfully hard this summer, and they're prepared to come in and have a great preseason training camp, and they're not going down to Maryville for the first game with any fear. And so that's real exciting, because I think we have a great coaching staff that's been is a seasoned group of people that can take these 13 returners and combine them with the players that can make this program be competitive week in and week out.
I just want to know where the golf clubs are. He looks like a PGA professional when he walks in here.
Hey, it's summer mode, Craig.
Oh, okay.
I just have a question. What do I need to do to get co-host respect around here?
Because we might be able to throw you a little.
This is quite an honor for you, Greg.
Trust me, I'm on the low end of this deal.
Well, they have me, so they can't. It isn't that high of a thing anyway. So there you go.
I played golf once this summer, and I'm playing again on Saturday with the Loper Gridiron Club over at Awori Dunes.
Let's talk uniforms.
We're pretty excited about where we're at right now.
I before we turned the mics on, I said that's outside of the Little League talk. The front page of the paper and the talk the last couple of days is the new look, and it's sharp. It really is sharp. I think it loved the fact that the gold was implemented in that. So tell us. I mean, what went on into this? How long did it take to put this deal together, and it's across the board. We'll see new unis mm-hmm. for Loper athletes in every sport.
That's correct. You know, back in October, I was informed that our agreement with Russell Athletic was going to be expiring on June 30th of 2014. So I worked closely with John Watts over in our business finance office, and we started to put out really a 15-page document that we asked people to submit bids to the University of Nebraska-Kearney. And we received bids from three high-profile shoe, apparel, and uniform companies out there. So it was Under Armour, Adidas, and Nike that all submitted bids for our business. And we did this through Lou's Sporting Goods, which has been a great service to us to be able to get the apparel that we need. But at the end of the day, when we got all the bids back, we brought them to our coaches and we sat down and said, you know, what is the company that we feel can put us on a national map? What's going to give us the product that we're looking for? What's going to be a great deal for us so that we can buy goods at a reduced cost? And then where are we going to get some good kickback so that we can be able to buy complimentary goods from our vendor? And Under Armour just jumped right off the page. You know, the other two were competitive, but we feel like with the popularity of Under Armour and then with the gear that they provide, especially in some specific sports like football and basketball, we felt that this is a company we wanted to partner with because the future looks very bright for them. And a week after we signed, Under Armour signed with Notre Dame. So we were really excited about the collaboration that took place. But once we got signed on with them, the Under Armour rep came to campus, and he met with Coach Morris and Coach Bowder and myself, and we started to put together a plan that would have our blue and gold colors mixed in, both with the main jersey and then the pants. And then we also wanted to have an alternative jersey because our student athletes time and time again said, we want black. But yet we didn't want to just cave into the concept of all black. We wanted to keep the royal blue and gold in our colors. And we are really excited about what's transpired. But we'll be able to provide uniforms to all of our sport programs. We're working towards all 17 of them. All of our student athletes are going to get workout gear, a shirt and a short that they can use for working out in the weight room. And we just feel like it's putting us now on a national map with a highly regarded company that exists in our business.
And it has done that. My son, who's a junior in high school, and we both have sons about the same age, follows on Instagram, and I don't know Instagram at all, but follows on Instagram something like Athlete Swag or something like that. Mm-hmm. Within about 6 hours, there were 3,500 likes for the new Loper uniform across the country. So that gives you an idea that, you know, within the universe of where you're going to recruit athletes from, there is a little bit of notice that kind of comes out with that. There's also going to be some subtle changes with the helmet as well. The logo a little bit bigger, and then we're going to do some logo implementation, changing the logo a little bit on some certain events.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well for us. You know, our helmets are nice. They're classy. They have a nice, clean look in them. But Coach Morris came up with the idea of, instead of buying, you know, several different helmets throughout the course of the season, just keep the helmets that we have and bring in some new ones, but change the look of them just by changing the decal. And so for three of the games, we'll have different decals that we'll use. One of them is to recognize and honor our military and in support of them. The other one is 9/11. Our first home football game is on September 11th, so we're going to do a red, white, and blue decal in place of where the Loper head is.
Nice.
And then we'll also have a Think Pink in honor of breast cancer awareness and the game that we'll do to recognize that group and also raise money. And so we're trying to just change the looks in subtle ways, but ways that coincide with the theme and who we're trying to honor or represent, but also to keep the theme consistent with our identity standards for the university.
I imagine in some portions of the country there'd be a sport that's kind of the big brother. You know, hockey maybe in the Northeast or something like that. But obviously here in the Midwest, football is kind of the straw that stirs the drink a little bit. Is football getting a little bit more attention of your day? Is that kind of something that kind of casts a shadow over the rest of the programs, that you really need to kind of elevate UNK football first and then everything else will follow? Or is everybody, all 18 are getting 1/18 of the pie?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and it's a philosophical one that I've had to struggle with while I've, you know, worked for 9 years at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and then transitioned here to Division II to work at UNK. And, you know, I truly believe that a rising tide raises all ships. And when you look at a sport program like football, a program that has 100-plus student-athletes, that has multiple family members that attend games, you know, the attendance at football is through the roof. It's still one of the most popular sports that exist in American culture, you know, in addition to basketball and baseball. But football can help us in a lot of ways to increase the profile of our institution and how we are viewed as a campus. The flip side of it is it costs a lot of money to be able to invest in football. And the disadvantage we have against some of our MIAA counterparts is that they don't have as many sports as we do. You know, we have 17 sports. A lot of schools have 10, 11, 12, 13. You know, so they can distribute their resources towards programs like football. And so we're trying to keep a healthy balance as we do this. You know, we have to keep in mind Title IX and gender equity mm-hmm. as we make decisions. We also have to look at program equity and what we're able to provide for sport programs that are all searching for resources. And so I think for us it is the concept of, you know, let's use football to drive some of the promotions that we're able to get and the attention that we're able to get, but then let's support all of our teams in helping them be successful. Because last year we had 11 teams competing in NCAA championships, and we had 7 out of 17 finish top 3 in their respective sports. Well, unfortunately, football wasn't one of them. And so we're trying to make a concerted effort in some sport programs that need some help right now and try to get everybody to top 3 in the conference, to get everybody to the NCAA championships. And then that's the ultimate goal for the total athletic department.
And obviously, there's a return on the investment. If football does well, it'll help pay off some of that cost with there as well. Go ahead.
Well, and what I was going to share with you is, you know, we've made a concerted effort to do this, and I think statistically it's starting to work for us. For example, last year on August 1st, and Greg, you can relate to this because you're into the season ticket sale business and mm-hmm. you're trying to put people in the seats. Last year on August 1st, our total season ticket sales were $5,000. Well, we were just kind of starting the season ticket process, and you know, we used all of August and part of September to continue to move the packages forward before we started our first game. This year on August 1st, we had already sold $65,000 worth of season tickets. So we're way ahead of the game as far as what we're trying to promote and what we're trying to put out there in the community, not only about football, but volleyball and soccer. And then and we'll do the same thing with basketball and wrestling and then baseball and softball in the spring. And so, you know, the model is there. It's just us pushing it and making it a priority.
Well, let me publicly compliment you. Being in the, being across the street, being in the business, I've heard tremendous things about what you've brought to the campus and I think the community. So, it no surprise to me that those numbers have changed that way. And so, I think it's just going to get better and better. And a lot of it, like you said, it's and some of it's change of culture. Some of it's, I mean, all those things, but you're to be complimented, and I love hearing it around the community. You know, it's it makes everybody work harder, smarter, and so much compliments to you. I have a question as it relates to kind of the big picture of the NCAA tournaments. Kearney, in the last, well, I don't know how many years now, have hosted different Division II championships. Is that still something that you're going to be continuing to look at? Is there anything on the horizon at Liberty to say in that realm?
Well, the NCAA changed their process a year ago and sent out a formal bid process to any institution at Division I, II, and III that was interested in hosting either regional or national competition. And we put together what we felt were real competitive bids with the Kearney Visitor Bureau in the Chamber of Commerce. And the NCAA came back and awarded us with a couple regional championships, and we were hoping for a national volleyball and a national wrestling championship. So we got let down, we got denied, and ultimately it was a four-year period that they were looking to solicit these bids for. So we got shut out. So we had made some calls and asked, well, what were the hindrances or what was the reason why they decided to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, rather than Kearney, Nebraska? And we really weren't able to get a great answer, but there are two themes that we think may have come up, and one is the lack of proximity to a big big airport. And then the second piece was the fact that we were hosting it on campus rather than at an event center. And a lot of the schools or conferences that were awarded national championships are now starting to host them at off-campus venues because they feel like if they go to a campus venue, that campus gets preferential treatment or they have the home court advantage.
And
those are the reasons why you submit a bid and why Kearney had such great attendance for volleyball and wrestling when we hosted in the past. But we hope that trend will change. You know, at the NCAA, we'll look at it for over a four-year period of time and say, you know, let's look at this a little differently down the road. And, you know, they all want to do what they did at Texas Stadium for the men's basketball Final Four, where they have 80,000 people piled into a place. Well, at some levels, that's not very reasonable or realistic. So we do have a couple NCAA regional championships that we're going to be hosting here in the near future with cross country and golf. And we're excited about that, but we didn't get the big ones in the Health and Sports Center that we were hoping for.
Speak with Paul Plinski, UNK Athletic Director. You mentioned this earlier, the golf event coming up at Owerri Dunes, the Gridiron Club, various sports within campus, do a little fundraising for themselves. Gridiron Club, probably one of the more notable ones about that. Talk about that event, and is it too late to get signed up?
No, Matt Cope over at Landmark Implement would be willing to take anybody who's interested in playing. It's a 1 o'clock shotgun start over at Owerri Dunes, and it'll be a great event for individuals to come over and support Loper football. And I think the goal is to get people together to collaborate, have a good time. But at the end of the day, raising a couple of dollars to support the football program is appreciated. You know, they had an outstanding Loper football backer banquet back in May that Brad Kernick and several others pitched in to make very successful. It's an outstanding event that will help us with scholarship support that we need for football. But this one this weekend will hopefully be a fun event, and Matt Cope could help out with that one if you're interested in being a participant in it. And, you know, we'll start moving ahead with several other special events that are coming up. We have Loper Under the Lights on Saturday, August 23rd. That'll be a fun event for all community members to come to Cope Stadium and meet our student athletes. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, we'll be kicking off with the first volleyball matches in the Health and Sports Center, and then our first football game on September 11th. So a lot of things are happening and coming very quickly for us.
And there's
where did this summer go?
I know. A week from tomorrow the park, there's an event with Nebraska Land National Bank with St. Jude's Hospital in terms of meeting some Lopers for lunch a week from Friday as well. Their fan fest and Loper showcase coming up a week from Friday. So, again, that is kind of a fundraiser for the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Kind of goes a little bit what the mission for athletics is as well in terms of trying to help out the overall community.
Yeah, Nebraska Land National Bank's become a great partner for us, and they're going to host from 11 to 1 an event at Harmon Park next Friday, August 15th. And we'll have student-athletes over there for autographs, and hopefully people can just make their way over for something to eat or just socialize and hang out. And you know, more we can do to get in the community is important to me. And I think our student-athletes, who are some going to be first-timers in this community, you know, for them to be welcomed by our community is appreciated, and they'll then reciprocate, and hopefully leading into the fall, they can really enjoy Kearney and have a great experience on our campus.
New uniforms bring back the color gold a little bit more for UNK Athletics. The uprights at the football stadium, now we're playing it gold, kind of a tip to the hat to the school color there as well. What are some other maybe more subtle changes we're gonna notice?
Well, we're doing some what we call in our business branding. It means we take the Loperhead logo or the UNK logo and we start to put it on banners and we put it on different areas of our venues. That's been something that we've tried to do with our staff, and we think that we're going to create a, you know, exciting piece for our student athletes, fans, outsiders, individuals who come on campus. They're going to look at them at our facilities and say, man, they've really positioned themselves well. This looks like the University of Nebraska Kearney. And so that'll be our focus in the Health and Sports Center and in at Cope Stadium. We're finishing off three locker room remodels, and the Health and Sports Center right now will be done in about a week with men's and women's basketball and with volleyball. And then Memorial Stadium has some locker room renovations going on under the direction of head coach Damon Day. So there's going to be some neat things our student athletes will see here in the next couple weeks when they come back to campus.
I think we covered a lot, Paul. What have we not touched on? We need to bring up.
Well, I'll just say, you know, Greg, you're very complimentary of me, but I do want to share with you that a lot of things that you do in your business, we see and we notice, and you've kind of helped us become, in a lot of ways, better because we see what you've done and the bar that you've set, and, you know, we've stolen a couple of your staff members now over to UNK, and I think as a result, that shows the respect that people have for you and what you're doing for your organization, and we hope to, at some point in time, be able to partner and have more events down at Viero or vice versa and be able to do something. It's exciting to be in Kearney because there's a lot of great people who want to be all in on what not only UNK is doing, but everything in the city, you know, from the little leagues to the, you know, what's going on at the Viero and everything in between. So it's a great place to be right now.
A lot of good stuff. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that all UNK grads. You know, we've been proud to have a number of UNK, with the exception of our hockey staff, which comes from, you know, places north of here for the most part.
Yeah, Loper hockey isn't what you need it to be.
No.
Your program.
We don't have that feeder, but yeah, I look across our staff and the holes that we will fill and change will be most likely UNK grads. So it's we've had, I believe, a tremendous partnership and one that's only going to grow and continue to get better. So,
Paul, I appreciate the time. Best of luck as camp opens up for football Wednesday, volleyball, and some of the other fall sports. So it'll be in full swing by, well, about this time next week.
That's right. Thank you. Go Lopers.
All right. Thanks. That's Paul Polinski, UNK Athletic Director. Don't forget the Misco Sports in Ord is now under new ownership, so you can stop by, say hi to Steve, Jeremy, and Megan, the new owners, and ask them about getting your Husker stuff for the season as they get ready to carry ASICS footwear for the whole family. Whatever your fall sport is, they can get you all equipped at Misco Sports. You need to come in and see the great people that have been getting you better equipped for the games that you play. That's Misco Sports in downtown Ord. We'll take a quick break. We're back after this.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
All sorts of great golf opportunities. Don't forget the Gridiron, the event sponsored by the Loper Gridiron Club. And, of course, the one that's been around probably as long as any, if not older, is the Holdridge Country Club 87th Annual Southwest Open that's coming up this weekend. Your price of $95 includes a free practice round on Friday, free range balls, dinner on Saturday night, and Calcutta. For more information, get a hold of the Holdridge Country Club at 995-5744. Or if you can't remember that number, it's pretty easy to find at their website, Holdridge CC, as in Holdridge Country Club, holdridgecc.com. Give you all the information and the opportunity to sign up for the 87th Annual Southwest Open that's coming up with the practice round on Friday, but they'll be actually keeping score on Saturday and Sunday. Don't forget, again, when you sign up, a free dinner on Saturday night, free range balls, as well as that Calcutta, the 87th Annual Southwest Open as well. And again, we're transitioning away from, we talked to Bill Bonner of Little League. Obviously, we got a lot of mentions of golf, but we're starting to move into hockey season, football season. It's all just right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. Well, you just go by any of the fields around town, and the traffic has really picked up. Where, you know, I think at the high schools they've got their conditioning going on, and then it really starts for real next week. So it's exciting. This is this has always been a great time of the year. Anytime you have that change from one season to another, and there's the overlap where you've got baseball overlapping into the beginning of your fall sports. If you're a sports fan, and we are. It's a lot of fun.
The months of September and October, I think, are the greatest sports months out there because you got football, you got hockey getting going, you've got you still have baseball races going there in terms of the major leagues and stuff like that. There's always something to be kind of paying attention to.
Yeah, and I should publicly thank your boss, Craig Eckert. He was kind to set us up a week ago Thursday. I hadn't been to a Royals game in Kansas City for years, and I was talking to Craig and decided to jump in the car and drive quickly. I got there. I left here at 2. By the way, I think you shouldn't be able to do this, but I did it. I left here at 2 and was there for the start of the second inning at Kauffman Stadium last Thursday. So
you didn't stop and have dinner anywhere,
No, but
and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. We won't mention what the average rate of speed was.
And I was surprised because the Royals are, four and a half every day.
They're a half game out of the wild card.
Yeah, and you would, on a Thursday night, it was a nice crowd, but for a team that hasn't been in the hunt for so long, I was surprised that it wasn't a full house. They were playing the Twins, which definitely wasn't a draw for them. But I thought the fact that they're on the doorstep and at least in the discussion, I know that there's a long ways to go for them. But if you haven't been to a Royals game in a long time, it's a great experience, and really appreciate it that Craig was able to help us. And I know that your family of stations have been big supporters of the Royals for a very long time.
Yeah, the Breeze has every game on, including tonight, where they're going to go for the sweep against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And Arizona have been playing pretty good ball. They're in the playoff hunt as well over in the National League. And the Royals have won 5 straight series. And that just, if you continue to do that, you're going to be just fine. You know, if you win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 every week, you keep doing that, you're going to be exactly where they want to be. And Kansas City, they're going to be a tough out for anybody. They're not in the wild card yet. They're a half game out, but they're going to be a team that's awfully tough to beat because they have such great pitching.
Yeah,
Pitching
and defense. Got a pretty salty left fielder.
That Gordon guy's all right.
Yeah, so it's they're fun and it's fun for this area because it's been so long. We both grew up where the Royals were always in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, kids, yes, the Royals, there was a time
77-85. Yeah, they were the best team in baseball.
I think, 76, 77, 78. They were three times they won the division. And
75, even, I think.
Yeah, but they just couldn't beat the Yankees. They didn't make that happen until the 80s. And I always love thinking of radio. I used to listen to those games and fall asleep at night listening to Denny Matthews and Fred White. And
yep.
When they finally beat the Yankees, it was it hard to believe it happened, because as a Royals fan, you knew you could win the division, but you just couldn't beat the Yankees. And so now the fact they haven't won for so long, it's refreshing. It's exciting to see that they're in the hunt, and like you said, and winning series and staying right on the heels of the Tigers.
I think the call they got in 85 against the Cardinals was just. Baseball gods owed them. They were just owed that. They were just owed that over the year. Freddie Pontek and his broken heart in the dugout that one year earned them that call in 85. Well, a program that's traditionally strong in the Big Ten, had a nice year last year with all the issues that Penn State had kind of gone through. They had a quality year. This is the year a lot of people think that Penn State might be down a little bit because their numbers of players that they have on scholarship as part of the sanctions, they're going to be a little bit down. But at Big Ten Media Days, we had the opportunity to talk with some Penn State players, including Sam Ficken as the kicker for Penn State. And here's our interview that Doug and I had with Sam Ficken about the future of Penn State football.
Doug and Danny Show rolling on with more of our Big Ten preview. We go to Penn State, where they've got a new coach, but they've got a good kicker. They don't have a new kicker. They got the same kicker. They got a successful kicker. I think he's the only kicker they brought to Big Ten Media Days because he's so special. And he joins us here today, and we bring in Sam Ficken. And Sam, how does a place kicker come to Media Days? You got a lot of attention here, brother.
Yeah, so no, really cool experience. Happy to be here. Fun representing the school and the team. Obviously, we had a ton of candidates that should be out here, but you can only bring three. Coach Franklin thought, obviously, I could represent the school in a positive light. So more than happy to be here.
When you think of Penn State, a lot of times you think of linebacker U, but Penn State's got a rich tradition of kicking as well with the Barr brothers. And
yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, a great support system. Obviously, I've been in contact with Robbie Gold a lot. He helped me through my struggles early on when I was young. So he's been very instrumental in helping me, along with the Barr brothers. Kevin Kelly's been around. All those guys have really, build a web of support where if you need it, it's there for you.
So it means something when you have the school record for making 15 straight field goals.
Yeah, I like to say that to myself. Obviously, had a good run. Looking forward to get back to that and hopefully beat that.
And it wasn't just a 22-yard chip shot that you missed either.
No, I ended the streak on, a 57-yarder. Ended up about a yard short. I think Christian Hackenberg took a sack on that play, so I'm going to blame him for that. it's definitely been cool. Great experience at Penn State so far.
Sam Ficken, place kicker, Penn State Nittany Lions, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. There's so much of a soap opera that continues to get around Penn State here, and we're moving away from that. And I always thought, hey, this team is going to continue to be good because they have talented players. I think the scholarship issue maybe at some point catches up to you, but now you have a new coach. Talk about where you were and what Coach O'Brien did, and if you could follow it up, what Coach Franklin's been like so far.
Yeah, so, obviously with Coach O'Brien, the way he battled what happened here, how he held things together, there were some dark moments for sure. But I think that staff and Coach O'Brien and those seniors in 2012 did a tremendous job in keeping the team together, keeping a lot of players on course and online with what Penn State's all about. And then with Coach Franklin, the energy he's bringing, the everything, his intangibles, his excitement, his passion for the game, and I think right now we're like a top five recruiting class for the next year. So obviously heading in a great direction.
Obviously, you want to leave a program in better shape than where you found it. Mm-hmm. These are probably some of the rockier periods in Penn State football history. Mm-hmm. I mean, no other class is going to be going through three different head coaches mm-hmm. in the course of their tenure. When you look back on your time at Penn State and the idea of building for the future, what are some things that are kind of sticking with you and what you think you're leaving behind?
Yeah, so, you know, when I got here, things were so stable. And then, obviously, with what happened, you know, it's been a rocky road. Learned a ton. And, obviously, going forward, I like to think to myself that, you know, we, not just myself, but a collective group of guys really saved the program. You know, Mike Monty, Coach O'Brien, you know, all those guys, you know, were so instrumental in keeping things together. And just to be able to say you were a part of something like that, obviously with the fan base that we have and the alumni, you know, you really get to see that. When things, you know, when the sanctions went down, I think we had 500 lettermen come in and just say, hey, we love you if you stay. We understand if you go, but you'll be legends here forever if you stick it out and help this program through a rough time.
Talk with Sam Ficken. He is the place kicker at Penn State. The Huskers won't get to see them for the first time since moving into the conference, but and there's something new there. East Division, some new teams that you're going to get to see. Is that exciting for a player?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we got a lot of guys coming in from that area, Maryland and Jersey, so obviously that kind of adds a little bit extra incentive. You know, we played them in the past. We haven't played them for about 20 years or so. But, no, it definitely adds a little bit of excitement. You know, we're looking forward to a lot of good games with them.
You're going to play some tight games. I mean, you guys are a quality team playing a pretty tough schedule. You know, everybody that's on there, Michigan State, all that. Mm-hmm. Kicker, it could very well and often does, and you're praying for it to come down to you. How do you mentally approach that you're kind of looking at 99 other guys in uniform saying, guys, I got this?
You know, the way I like to look at it is it doesn't change. It's an extra point. You know, your extra points that you kick generally would go about 55 yards. So that's the way I try and approach things. Obviously, when things are a little bit more important on the line, that kind of adds a little bit extra incentive to you wanting to make it or not. But being able to kind of calm yourself, calm your holder down, calm your snapper down, and just say, you know, hey, it's no different than any other kick. You know, let's do this thing. Let's get it over with. Let's get the win. Let's go home.
Place kicking has become so much better across the board over the last 10 years. Maybe you want to go farther than that. You know, a 45-yarder seems to be nothing. A 50-yarder, you never seem to hear anybody make that. Nebraska has a couple of kids with a very successful long careers in the NFL now. You were a soccer player that has become, and of course, this summer of soccer with the World Cup and things like that. How much does that still play into becoming an outstanding place kicker like yourself?
I think that was instrumental in my development. You know, I didn't start playing football until my junior year in high school. So obviously, with that background, I think you kind of learn the fundamentals of kicking. You know, what follow through means, what position your foot needs to be in to make sure that the kick goes through, whether it curves a little bit or draws a little bit. So, you know, those are things you kind of learn growing up being a soccer player. And then I think those were definitely helpful in developing myself as a kicker.
So when you're working with Robbie, what are the things? Because we Brett Maher's now at the Canadian Football League from our hometown. What do you work on? You know, you're out there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours in practice. You're going in the off season. What are you working on?
I mean, there's a multitude of things. Honestly, it kind of depends on what you're struggling with. So you kind of got to take a step back and say, you know, try and fine tune the small detail that's affecting you and what is making you struggle. Obviously, at this stage, there shouldn't be a major issue. If there is, that's not a good sign. But no, the small things, you'll kind of be able to see those on film. Obviously with Robbie, he knows his stuff better than I do. So to have him there helping me, when I'm struggling, you know, is big. I think at this point in time, it's just the small details, that work themselves out generally.
When I have a middle linebacker, you know, I want him listening to heavy metal. I want him to be bouncing off the wall. I want him to be that
like
crazy
Mozart
guy. Do you listen to Mozart before the game?
Because
the kicking is such an explosive act as well.
I like all types of music. It doesn't go one way or the other. You know, I just try and stay, once I'm out on the field in a zone, I generally stay away from people. Because obviously football is an impact sport. People are getting all hyped up when you get a big hit. I don't want to be around for that. I'm going to stay in my zone. I want to stay in my corner. So that's where I'm at and where you'll find me during games.
Are you naturally that way, or do you have to kind of fight that urge?
I mean, I would say through my experiences, I've learned that that's the better way to approach things. Obviously, I played different sports growing up. I played basketball, I played soccer, played baseball. So, you know, through that, I do occasionally get riled up and, you know, obviously having some fun out there. But when it comes to an important moment in the game, I stick to myself generally.
I think he's got a little wild side. He likes water skiing. He likes a wakeboard. Yeah, exactly. And he likes to get out there. And one interesting note that I came across, your cousin's with Robbie Hummel, Purdue basketball player. So he could outkick you or you could take him in a game of basketball. Which one?
I definitely beat him and Horace all the time. But no, he's doing well. He just got re-signed by the Timberwolves. So really excited for him. You know, he had a great career at Purdue. So being able to see him succeed in what he does has been special.
Well, we'll let you get on to the next stop and wish you the best of luck all year long. Hopefully things go well in the Northeast.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Ficken and getting a little kicker love here today. You know, as a father of a kicker, it's always nice to have that. Somewhat unusual. Only kicker that was invited to Big Ten Media Days. Every school gets to bring three players in there. So, you know, 14 teams in the league. There's 42 players, one kicker. And that's Sam Ficken. And there's been a lot of successful kickers from both Nebraska and Penn State. Those are probably the two schools within the Big 12 where kicking is a little bit on a different level than it is at most other schools. Don't forget the coverage of Big Ten Media Days brought to you in part by MISCO Sports. Get your game on now, MISCO's. They'll be keeping you equipped for games that you play for years and will for years to come with a storefront in Ord and a website that they're currently building and will be available soon. And also coverage of Big Ten Media Days brought to you by the Chicken Coop and Kearney, your original sports bar and grill serving flame-broiled buffalo wings. They're cooked over that open flame, and then one of their homemade sauces is seared onto the wing to give it that one-of-a-kind special flavor. And they also offer home-style pizzas, burgers, salads, quesadillas, a full kids menu, and many other items on the bricks in downtown Kearney. And also coverage of Big Ten Media Days brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island. Go to gidiocese.org for mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska. I feel like Greg Shea asking the question of who you kind of like in the Big Ten. I also want to know, who is your NHL team?
Who is my NHL team?
Do you have a favorite team? I mean, obviously you're busy. You've kind of fallen the local team here.
I'm a front runner.
Are you? Yeah. Just kind of whoever's good at the time?
Probably the Kings.
You can't argue the success they've had in the last 3 years.
No, I don't really have a particular team. Although, if we've had players that, probably right now, I follow the Blues
just as much as
Jaden
anybody.
Schwartz. Yeah. Just, you know, 5 years ago was skating in this town, and now he's, you know, a major contributor, not just a contributor, major contributor on the Blues.
He's a borderline all-star. Yeah. He's right there.
Yep. So I probably follow teams where we've had players or I think that we're going to have players, and we've had players with the Kings matter of fact, we just drafted a player who was also drafted by the Kings. So I'll continue to watch the Kings. The president is Luke Robitaille, who at one point was part of the ownership group of the Omaha Lancers in our league. And so got to know Luke a little bit and another reason to kind of follow the Kings.
Yeah, and that been successful. Can't argue with that. Avs guy, you know, kind of that local team, and we haven't had any Tri-City Storm players play for the Avs. I don't think.
No,
ever.
We have not.
Never had one drafted.
No, you're right. The Avs. You got to, you know, like anything, you got to watch your teams around you, and the Avs would be one of those. Certainly,
that's about the only local team that I will follow in any professional sport. It is. So I don't know. I guess I have to follow what you're supposed to do at least once. At least once, just to keep people guessing.
You're just a good sports guy. See, look at it that way. That's
eclectic.
Good.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap better. Let me do that again. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll wrap everything up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We come back right after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Looking for a great job? Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating is currently hiring service plumbers and heating and cooling technicians. Experience is preferred, but if you're hardworking and dependable, Anderson Brothers is willing to provide training. You'll benefit from an excellent starting wage and a great benefit package, which includes health insurance, 401k, and a cafeteria plan. To apply or for further information, stop in person at Anderson Brothers Kearney or Holdridge location during regular business hours. Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating, an equal opportunity employer.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll get you updated with the PGA here in just a little bit. But we also want to remind you that Midway has gotten some information from Chevy that means that they're going to be able to continue their 0% financing for 60 months, 5 full years, interest-free on 2014 Cruises, Malibus, and Impalas, some of the most popular Chevys out there. Also, if you pick up a brand-new 2015 Malibu that are in stock, GM is also offering an additional $1,000 rebate on the 2015 models and 2015 Silverado 2500s and 3500s. They're currently in stock. GM also offering an additional $1,500 rebate on their work truck and LTs as well. And don't forget, good things happen when you go to Midway. If you don't believe us, you can ask Mike and Alexis Pennington of Kearney. They won the Kawasaki 900 and a tandem skydive, as well as HD video and still images of the skydive as well. Congratulations to Mike and Alexis for picking up the motorcycle and the skydive. Midway, it's a better way. Midway on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Their complete inventory is at www.thinkmidway.com. Like Midway on Facebook as well. Midway, it is a better way. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question from yesterday. Do you like the four-game NFL preseason? Do you like it as is, or should it be longer, should it be shorter? You had several options there. We had only two votes. And what is your opinion of the NFL four-game preseason?
Me, you're asking
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
I watched a little bit the other night, and I thought it just the excitement of football, and that's nice. About all I could watch of it, the Hall of Fame game, because it just...
Football is almost ready to start.
But the game wasn't very good. I mean, this early, it just seems so watered down, but then I hear...
But you got to have it a little
but
bit.
But then it still had, those that follow ratings, it had a 5 rating. It still had a rating that was higher than almost everything on TV over the weekend. So
higher than the Stanley Cup Finals, higher than the World Series.
We didn't have to throw that
Series.
Out there.
Well, I mean, higher than the World Series. I mean, it's higher than the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
It's higher than any other major
Let's just get
sport.
To the regular season.
All right. Well, I'm kind of with you there. 75%... thought they would like the NFL preseason to be shorter, and there was 25% that said, it's okay as is. And actually, I kind of think you almost have to have those 4 games to set your roster and tune up. You need 4 games to do those 2 things. Today's question, how will Tiger do at the PGA? Will he make the cut, miss the cut, contend, or win the whole enchilada? Those are your 4 options. Make the cut, miss the cut, contend, and when. You're kind of a golf guy. What do you think?
Well, for ratings,
I know at the
for ratings, I yeah, everybody wants him to make it to the weekend because he like the NFL, he jumps the ratings. I mean, I think he's going to struggle again. I mean, it's crazy to me how he just doesn't. To me, I know it's Tiger, but you still got to play the game. And at 37, 38, I continue to wonder just how healthy he is. He comes out, he comes out, says he's pain free.
He doesn't look pain free.
Didn't play but 9 holes yesterday, and most of it was just chipping around. So I'm not really sure.
He doesn't walk like he's pain free.
My prediction is I'd love to see Ricky Fowler break through. He's been on the doorstep. And we just talked a minute ago. It seems like he's already up there, and making a move on the first day of putting his name towards the top 10 in the leaderboard. And at some point, I think he breaks through. I don't know. We'll see. I have a bad feeling. I don't think we'll see Tiger this weekend.
So you're going with miss the cut.
I'm going to say miss the cut.
All right. You can log on and follow our Midtown Mart cooler question today. Currently, Tiger Woods is tied for 59th. He is 3 over on the tournament. Lee Westwood is 5 under after 17 holes. Kevin Chappell of the United States also at 5 under. And Eduardo Molinini. I have no idea if I got that right or not. You probably would know more than
Molinini
me.
Molinini or Molinaro?
Molinari. A-R-I. He's from Italy. If that means anything to you, according to the flag here anyway. Also, those three are at 5 under par at the moment. So they're the three leaders.
And don't get me wrong. I want to see Tiger on the weekend. I just have this sense he's not going to get there again.
I don't think he's healthy enough. I mean, I almost think he's better off just saying, you know what, I need to rest up a little bit more, do a little bit more. Maybe he needs to do another surgery. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly where his back's at, but golf is better when he's interesting. I've never been a Tiger fan, but I understand ratings. Golf is better when he's contending, and right now he's just not physically strong enough to be able to do that. So that's kind of where we're at. There you go. Hey, Greg, it's great to see you. We should do this more often.
Hey,
we just kick Doug out and we just make that happen.
Yeah, I think I'll keep my day job. I appreciate it, though. It's been a lot of fun. It was great to talk to Paul Polinsky. I'm a fan. The guy is doing some wonderful things up there, and looking forward to seeing the start of their season.
Yep, UNK certainly heading in the right direction with Paul Polinsky, athletic director. Kind enough to join us. Want to thank him. Also, Bill Bonner, the Little League coach here for Kearney, who joined us today, as well as Sam Ficken, kicker from Penn State, who joined us from Big Ten Media Days. We'll have more Big Ten Media Day coverage tomorrow, and we'll talk with the head football coach of the UNK Lopers. We'll talk with Coach Morris tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Join us then. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 right here on ESPN.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.